If someone tells me that you have anti-anxiety pills, my alert goes up, I guess.
Yeah, and I think you played like SpongeBob on TV or something.
Did we?
Okay, the most relaxing thing you can think of is SpongeBob.
Hi guys, so welcome back to another episode of The Biangle. Over here we have Dr. Erin and we have Miss Betsy Chan over here. All right, and so Betsy is one of our patients from Dental Designs, where we are from, and so she's really, really kindly have allowed us to bring her on here on stage today, and we can talk about her experiences regarding some of her treatments, and also about her life, because I was looking at her life biography, and it's like a lot of stuff, and so I think we're gonna delve into that really, really soon. So, Betsy.
Yes.
Thanks for coming on here today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. When did I know you? Like,
I
when did you start?
Was it like last year?
Was it last year?
Was it only last year? I remember it was June, but I couldn't remember like when, either 2 years ago or last year.
I think it's like 2 years ago. 2 years ago already.
Oh, really? It's been 2 years. Okay.
Time flies.
Because I know, like, you know, Katsuya, right? He's our technician, right?
Yes.
And then he's the one who did your veneers and things like that.
Okay. Yeah.
He just joined, maybe like a month or two after that, then he saw you. So that's how like he's been here with us for 2 years already. So I'm like, okay, 2 years. So far so good. Fingers crossed, but everything's okay. Yeah. So you had quite a bit of work done with regards
to the experience
teeth.
Was something to share, man. Seriously.
Yeah. Because previously you were quite fearful of dentists, if I'm not wrong. Am I right?
To be honest, I was terrified. Like before actually going to see you, I actually contemplated for a long time. And I think the fear started in primary school. When we are sitting in the classroom and they will send like a student into the classroom.
Yeah.
And they will bring like a slew of people with two names and they will get two students to go down to the dentist. I think back in those days, during my time,
was it in a van?
Quite fierce.
Was it in a van?
It wasn't a van. No. They had a dentist.
Like a room.
Yeah,
okay. Mine was in a van. It was
in primary school, is it?
Yeah.
In a room.
In a room, is it? Okay.
In secondary school, is it?
It's a van. Ah, okay.
Yes. And I recall like they will extract your teeth with like pliers with not, like I don't remember there's any anesthesia or anything
that. They took out your teeth in school.
Yeah. They literally pluck it out and they stuff the cotton in your mouth and you go back with this thing sticking out with blood.
Wow, okay, yeah.
That was like a long time ago for me, but I think you guys are different generations. So.
You look good though. Yeah.
I was like, whoa. For me, that was like 30 over years ago.
Okay, yeah. It's,
but
we know, but we actually didn't, I didn't really have that experience actually.
I think I'm older.
Definitely did the same.
But the aunties were very, 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 very scary. I remember the aunties were scary. They were just like, hey, can you sit down there? Open your mouth.
Yeah, they were all very, very fierce. You know, like we were told to brush our teeth and there was this campaign going around in Singapore, you know, like everyone will have this plastic mug and it reads like, clean teeth never decay. I don't know whether you guys remember that.
No.
No.
I had two brushing exercises in school.
Okay, I had that.
After
recess,
they made everyone line up and
I had to squat by the drain and we were all like brushing our teeth. That was primary school days. And after that, I was really terrified. So I would really dread going to the dentist, like maybe every 3-4 years. That's why my teeth is not in a good condition. So every 3-4 years, then I'll go for my cleaning.
Is it the fear of the unknown? Or is it fear of just like, scared that it's going to be painful.
Okay,
you
know, I have
a
little anxiety, you know, so like, but you know, like lying down there with your mouth open and you can't really like close your mouth, it just terrifies me a lot. So until I came to you guys and that was a bit different.
Oh, thank you.
I realized
you
guys are so gentle, like.
I mean, and now you're having,
now you're
having a chat with your dentist on off day.
Never know, like, you know, since primary school, like, I hit dentist, now it's like, having a chat
with
dentist.
Sitting down with you guys, and you know, like, feeling so comfortable. And now, actually, I look forward to going to the
dentist. Oh, that's nice. Kelly and everything.
Yeah,
right?
Hygienist Kelly is really good. Like, she makes sure, you know, whatever she's doing, she'll tell me what she's doing.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this is going to take a little bit longer, so you know, now you have to open your mouth a little bit wider.
Yeah. So Betsy has not received any sponsorship from us, just to claim.
Oh yes,
So,
I pay for.
We're not paying for this. Yeah. So thank you for your kind words. So I mean, like in terms of like do you feel like after getting the treatment done and like you can smile nicer? Because you always will trouble with your smile, right? I think that's what.
Yes, I think when I was a kid, I had an accident. Like someone pushed me and I fell, and knocked one of my
tooth. Okay, yeah.
So it was kind of like, you know, like jutting out a little bit on my front. So I did braces, actually traditional braces.
Oh, okay.
Thing when I was 18 or something like that, and mm-hmm. that kind of like helped, but it didn't made it into, you know,
so
like
if I
now.
Took a picture of you like 18 years, like when you were 18, they had braces teeth.
Yes, correct.
I can't imagine.
And, yeah. And it was actually a very painful experience because I think I had it for like 3 years.
Okay.
Was it that long? I think so. And it was just very difficult to brush. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like not very comfortable. And the end results, I wasn't very happy. I mean, not that the dentist didn't do a good job, but I think, you know, that was just my teeth and the condition of the teeth.
Mm.
Yeah. So after that, I think, what did I do? Oh, I actually had veneers on the first round, and that wasn't with you. But that was like first 4 teeth.
I remember. Yeah.
I think we removed 4. And then I did the second round with Dr. Justin, and that was like 8. And yeah. Dr. Erin was just saying, you know, she thought it was just like my natural teeth.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I See, wouldn't have known food. Unless yeah. like you told me.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of.
They are beautiful.
That's actually
teeth.
My sort of my the best remark a dentist can get.
Yeah.
I don't want like, oh yeah, your teeth is like, oh yeah, it's so fake, but I know who did it. You know, like, I don't want it to be noticeable.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's super very nice. Like, I was telling her that I only knew that there were veneers because you said it. But if I had seen her, like, even as a dentist, I would have just thought that she had very nice teeth that are well aligned. So I would think that maybe
wow. High praise.
Right? I wouldn't think that the shape or the color is
okay. Thank
not
you.
Natural.
Yeah,
super,
I get a lot of compliments as well for my teeth. Like people are saying, oh, you have such nice teeth. But I didn't tell them.
No, but do you feel like you, because I obviously haven't, I don't have veneers on. But do you feel like you smile more because of these teeth?
Oh,
compared to not having this.
Definitely.
It matches her smile so well. Like, okay.
Okay, thanks.
He did a really, really, really good job. Yeah.
Thanks. You're making me blush. So, okay, but like, do you feel like your percent, I always like have, thinking of this idea that does it change your personality a bit, like more, you know, I don't know whether that,
I think so, because previously I was actually in service jobs as well. So I was a flight attendant, you know, and that time I had my first set of veneers then. And I wasn't to be honest, I wasn't as happy.
Yeah. Okay.
So like, you know, when you're not very happy with your smile, you just don't smile a lot.
Oh, yeah. And then you're laughing and you
close
your mouth. Right.
So like, especially, you know, when someone is close to you, like really at a close distance, you kind of like don't want to flash
your teeth. Cabin attendant, you're like next to the person. Literally.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, yes, you know.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I think I'm a happier person because of you.
Thank you so much for having us. No, but thank you for the trust. Cause it's not like easy to like commit to a big treatment. It's expensive and like it's quite a long, lengthy process, right? Yeah.
Yes. And I was so terrified of going to the dentist, like I said, before I met you guys.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you record. I was actually taking my anti-anxiety tablets before.
I remember something. Yeah.
I was like, no, you know, I'm going to freak out. I'm going to scream. I'm going to like, you know, just faint or something. And I think he was a bit terrified. He was worried something.
Yeah, I mean like if someone tells me that you have anti-anxiety pills, my alert goes up, I guess.
Yeah, and I think you played like SpongeBob on TV or something.
Did we?
Like,
oh, okay, the most relaxing thing I can think of is SpongeBob.
It just took. Okay, I don't know whether it was SpongeBob, but like, you know, it just took my attention off, you know, the treatment, because I think the longest we had was a 4-hour treatment.
Yeah,
right?
Longest,
it was 4 hours. But
intense.
He did it so quickly in like.
Yeah, but still, like.
2.5 hours.
I think that it's really like the. If you don't have anything to think about, and you just keep on thinking about your, like, what's happening to my teeth now, that really festers and like,
yes, I know.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yes,
so that's a big thing, I guess. Yeah,
that was actually an achievement for me. You know, like 3 hours in a single visit ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that was the longest, right? I mean,
yeah,
I've never done anything else.
It's something. It's, you know, nice. I guess. Thank you so much. So I understand you're also, well, like, tell me more about yourself.
Okay.
It's such a nice
really? I've done a lot of things in life, actually. So my background is in architecture. And I was working in the industry for about 5 years. And I decided that, okay, you know, I don't want to be in architecture anymore because of long hours. So I left and I joined two airlines as a flight attendant. So I was with two airlines, actually.
Mm. Yeah. So were you like, when you were in architecture, did you used to like, you know, sort of like to build stuff and like make the
I was modeling, doing a lot of design, conceptualization. So it's the first, like the initial phase of a project.
Wow,
so
okay.
Like, yeah, a lot of presentations to clients, you know, like 3D models and stuff like that. So that was what I was doing. Yeah, so condos, good class bungalows and stuff like that.
A lot of
projects, yeah, in Singapore and overseas.
Was it a very difficult job? Like, stressful for you?
Or? I actually liked it a lot. Like, okay. I'm a very arts person. I really enjoy, you know, like, you know, the work. But I think the hours that I have to commit to is just really way too long. I'm always sleeping under my desk in the office.
Really?
Yeah, most of the days, you know, like when we are rushing projects, you know, we'll be sleeping in the office and it's really, really tiring.
Wow, okay. I didn't expect that. I thought it would be quite...
Even architecture in school, you know, it's like students work very hard. They don't sleep.
Okay.
I don't know whether you have like friends in architecture, but we can tell you we all kind of like been through the same thing.
I guess it's very project based, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
So you gotta like there's time crunch involved in it as well.
So for my health, I decided, you know, no more. I'm just going to like make easy money. So that was when I joined the airline and I started flying.
But like, is it tough? Like, how was it like? Like, was it like tiring as well? Because I mean, you got to fly different hours and things like that.
Yeah, it depends on your definition of tough. I guess, you know, the tough part is fighting time zones. You know, always, you know, like flying to a different country and then, you know, your sleep pattern is severely disrupted. And also your eating times can be a bit different as well. So that is not so good. But the good side is you get to travel a lot and it's free.
Yeah.
And you have so much time, right? Like, people take holidays, they're resting on the flight and they just, you know, walk around when they get to the country. But for us, you know, we're just working on the flight and when you get there, it's all your time.
Oh, yeah. It's like different.
Yeah, you can do anything you want. And yeah, that's the biggest perk for me on the job. Yeah, and I really enjoy talking to people. So for me, that is something I enjoy the most, I think. I still have a lot of stories to share from my flying days.
Is it?
A lot of stories.
Be another episode.
So flying. Another episode. Yeah, so that's flying. Then subsequently, I went into, and currently still teaching. I'm a full-time, or really, not really full-time now, but kind of like freelance Pilates instructor.
Oh, and Erin is so, are you in Pilates or yoga?
Yoga.
No, Erin's not the same.
Okay.
Justin's like always the same.
No. I sort of know the difference. Okay, tell me the difference.
The difference, I will talk about the similarities first. I would say both are, I would say moderate intensity kind of, physical activity, but there's a lot of focus on alignment, self-awareness and control of the body. Yeah.
Mm,
yeah. So,
okay.
So both of these, practices, I don't know whether to call it a sport. I don't like calling it a sport. Yeah. Has the element, and there's always this element of like mindfulness and I guess wellness to it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And like, so what's the difference? it sounds like the same, right? Yeah.
Well, I mean, the difference is just how to channel these, concepts and goals through different equipment or different means. So yoga, usually we don't use any.
Oh, so Pilates has a lot more equipment, is it? Okay.
Usually,
So Pilates, we use a lot of equipment and resistance-based equipment.
Okay. Is it like physio, a bit like physio?
So actually, we do see a lot of clients who come out from post-physio.
Okay.
Yeah, so
like
that's
rehab,
like part of the rehab.
Okay. And right. what made you choose Pilates versus yoga?
Okay, actually it was really by chance. So I wasn't a sporting person actually. If my old friends were to know me, you know, I don't do any kind of sport or I'm not athletic at all. So I only started Pilates maybe like 12 years ago. And that was because my ex boyfriend had an injury. And he had an injury to the spine and I accompanied him for Pilates after that.
Oh, okay. So it's like a physio thing, basically.
Correct. So that was how extension. I got into Pilates. And I kind of liked it because like, I also been doing yoga actually during that period of time, but I'm kind of flexible as a person. So, you know, like back then, all the instructors somehow that I, you know, whose class I've attended, they all like focus on stretching a lot. And I'm like, I'm really very flexible. You want me to stretch beyond 180 degrees? I'm like, that's not, you know, that's not very realistic.
This is like the same as the NAFA, like the NAFA test, you know. I don't know
where
NAFA
test. Yeah, like,
see, I always get A. And like, I never even like, yeah, I always get A, but
maybe
like 40, whatever.
Maybe you should start doing.
But I'm like, I don't know whether I have just like very flexible ligaments or like very weak ligaments.
Possible, yeah.
I mean, technically, right, you are flexible in one way. But, in that sense, I'm like, why is everybody struggling with like seat and reach? I'm like,
because there are some people who just like, beyond their knees.
Yeah, yeah.
I started doing yoga because of our profession. Because
oh, do you?
Yeah, very tight neck and shoulders.
Yeah, so, okay. And did it help?
It helped a lot, yeah. I mean, I find that there, so actually something that I end up liking to mention in my classes a lot is, yeah, basically how to stretch your neck and even things related to like the jaw. Cause I think Singaporeans are very high stress also.
Or they clench a lot,
people
right?
Clench a lot. So one thing I sometimes just like to tell people to do when they're grounding themselves is to just notice how their teeth are touching the sides of the face and just try to.
Yeah, it's true.
All connected. Yeah.
You're right. I mean, and so are there any exercises you guys recommend for dentists? Like it's, something like if I have a backache. Because you know dentists, right? They like, she was just correcting my posture just now. It's like, I
do have a client who is also a dentist.
Okay.
And we do see biases in the body. You know, like, because you guys usually, you know, use your dominant arm, right? Your right arm. And then the patient will be on this side and you guys will be kind of like in a rotated position.
Yeah.
And then you have to lean over. So
that's
over
the worst, right, actually.
Well, you just have to do the reverse.
Yeah, just switch sides.
If you're very tight here, then I will try to lengthen and then I'll try to strengthen the other side. That's the first thing I'll do.
Okay.
Right? But then we'll have to address the whole body, you know, how you move together when it's bilaterally or, you know, unilaterally.
So how do you do like a consultation with your clients first?
I mean, I do. When they first come in, I'll look at their body.
Okay.
I'll do a...
Is
you know, just
like
get them
to
stand.
Kind of thing, like,
a very quick one, because if we do a full one, it can take like 20 minutes or even longer and people are not going to like it. So I'll just like have a quick look at, you know, like whether one shoulder is lower.
Standing up and just having
By standing and maybe I have to palpate a little bit. So I have to touch around the body a little.
Oh, okay. And then see if it's more like firmer and like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. But sometimes when the client starts to move, they will show different patterns. So again, we have to assess, you know, not just a static one, but, you know, when in motion, how is the body responding?
Okay.
Yeah, because sometimes the body auto-corrects itself because there's some kind of...
Compensating.
Yeah, compensating as well.
It seems like grinding. Grinding also, like if you grind, your muscles and everything gets compensated to where the side where you grind more. It's very similar.
Okay. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of bodies that's perfectly balanced, but I would say in a profession like yours...
It's intense, man.
Yeah, it's not easy. Really, it's not easy. So I think, you know, I also have a lot of doctors who came to me before, you know, surgeons and stuff like that, because they are always, like, performing surgeries. And they always have backaches and stuff. It's very, very common. Yeah.
Okay, and how do you advise them? What's the exercises?
I mean, I will give a little bit of homework, but I need them to show me they know how to do it correctly. So they will still have to come to class. You know, not like I can just say, okay, you know, like, but the easiest way to say that is, okay, usually if you guys are very kind of like over in, or always in a bent over position,
yes.
I think the best way is, you know, the first thing I'll say is work your back extensors, you know, work your back. Yeah.
Do the reverse, is it?
The reverse.
Okay.
Kind of like do the reverse first. But again, there are a lot of things at play, right? We are going to look at whether your core is strong enough to support, you know, the exercises, or whether you're using the right muscles. Yeah. So
okay.
Very different. Yeah.
I think dentists is like, you should really market to dentists because that's like the number one. Like, I mean, you're quite young, right? Then you already have backache and like... I mean,
like 2 years into school.
In school, you already have backache. I'm like, dude.
I think everyone should at least have a basic understanding of, you know, like the body and certain exercises that will help to address, you know, common issues that we face. Because everyone's always in a hunch over position. When we're eating on a computer, right? I mean, looking at your phone, everyone's doing this.
Yeah, it's true.
Right?
It's true.
Yeah.
You know why dentists are always hunching? Because they don't have good eyesight. and the oh, more eyesight. Yeah. I mean, that was before you had loops, right? Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. So, okay. You know, like this binoculars thing?
Yes,
we have,
yes,
like,
yes.
I have, right. And she has, who has. Or a microscope. The reason why we're all using it is because it has a certain distance.
I see.
Like a certain okay. distance, like a focal length. And okay. so if you go too near, you get blur. So you need to go from afar. But then you go from afar, then you automatically straighten your back.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you see better so as well. Helps. So that's, okay. that's, and that's because of that I don't really have
less
any backache anymore.
Aches now.
Yeah, for us.
But it has a certain weight to it, right?
A yes. little bit, yeah. So your neck.
So your neck. My neck is quite bad.
I think it's very interesting because this whole topic, also I think for me, like as a dentist, leading to this whole idea of just like body awareness. Mm-hmm. It's like all of us, like literally everyone, if you cut us down the middle, has all these imbalances, and it's a lot of it is about noticing yourself. And I think a lot of people don't notice enough about themselves. Yes. It's like the number of times you told a patient like, hey, did you notice this, that,
yes.
you know,
yeah.
they don't.
Yeah.
And I really, really believe that the more you notice and you understand, that lets you achieve like things that you didn't know that you were maybe concerned about.
Yes. Know? It's like actually when you talk to your clients, right? Or, I don't know, do you call them patients? Or
clients.
Sorry. So you talk to the clients, right? And then, and then like, they don't know that they're actually like posturing somewhat.
Actually, I wouldn't know as well, you know. Like, in my body, I have imbalances. I cannot see what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Unless
you put a ruler and, like, you know, like a leveler and check, right? Yeah.
I mean, if I'm standing in front of the mirror, yes, I can see. But when I'm bent over, I cannot see what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So we all need, like, you know, another pair of eyes to actually spot and
like photos, you know, so you can really see.
And are you still on full-time teaching as well?
I'm actually teaching freelance.
Oh, okay.
More like freelance because I kind of like step out from my previous business.
Okay. Mm. And like, I guess you can find you on Instagram as well, right?
Yeah, you can still find me on Instagram. Y'all can share the Instagram.
Okay, yeah. We'll do.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beneficial. Maybe a lot of dentists will sign up after this, you know?
Oh, yeah, cool. Sounds good.
And then they all have the same problem. All like bending to one side. And, like,
I'm actually not kidding. Everyone has the same problem somehow. Like, I've seen a lot of cases of clients with scoliosis, the curvature of the spine is like almost the same. Like we tend to, you know, deviate to one side and then do certain things.
Because
maybe we are right-handed and then we are using the mouse. And you know, like kind of like, I don't know, most people are kind of like upper body is slumped towards the side, then the lower spine is the other side. Like the curvature of the spine.
Oh, is it?
And because this arm becomes your dominant arm, you tend to push this arm a little bit more forward. So your spine goes into rotation.
You can see how you're crossing your legs right now.
Yeah, try crossing the other way.
I know. It's like that. Okay, understand.
Switch it
up.
Yeah, it feels weird.
Yeah.
But it's like it's just like the muscle memory and everything, right? So,
not just
imbalances, right?
Your body takes as little as just 2 weeks to actually change the posture.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But how frequent per day? Like you need to.
I don't know. I assume you're just like 8 hours a day, and you know, like working in the office. And I think 2 weeks is enough to actually change.
Yeah. Oh. Body. Okay.
Sounds like the deprogrammer.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. dentist talk. But another thing that will also help us as dentists is having that saddle chair. Have you seen a saddle chair before? It's like a horse chair. You might have seen in my room.
Oh, maybe.
It's like this.
There's no backrest, right?
And then you basically poking your butt.
I'm pretty sure that Osim used to sell those.
The saddle chair. Yeah, like, but it's really good though. That's what helped my core muscles over here. So that's another thing.
Yeah, but you guys sit a lot. But I don't think y'all should be leaning on a chair with a backrest.
We sit a lot, but we do a lot of sudden movements, which is bad. Because when you're doing, then, oh, doctor, there's something that you need to talk outside about. Then you have to, like, walk up, right? You're turn very fast. Okay. Or take an x-ray, you put the, because, you know, the x-ray is quite big, right, sometimes. So you got to put the x-ray in, and you got to rush out because the patient's, like, gagging and things like that. So, like, you got to, like, quickly put in and things like that. So then, like, there's a lot of, like, awkward angles you got to move kind of thing.
I feel like also you just get really into, you get really focused on what you're doing. You just don't notice what your body's doing. It's like, I'm trying to maintain good posture, but then I get into an angle and then I'm just like so fixated on my hands that my body is suffering.
Yeah.
Actually, for my job as well, because sometimes I need to spot clients. You know, like they're doing something, if they're going to lose balance or they're going to fall.
Maybe it should be in a very weird angle, right?
Isn't yeah, it? I have to kind of like lean forward, or sometimes I have to put one leg up to hold the carriage, the reformer.
Okay.
You know, like I'm like trying to find my balance and trying to hold on to
something. Yeah, wow, okay.
Yeah, so can be kind of like, you know, like you say, very quick, I need to respond. I do have clients who almost fell, like almost, yeah, so I had to catch.
In a way, is Pilates a bit more dangerous than yoga in that sense? Just a very sensitive topic.
Okay, so Pilates has
it seems like it's dangerous though.
Because the fact that we are using equipment-based, and the equipment that we use sometimes is not very stable. It's basically to challenge your stability muscles. So it's
because
we
need
moving.
To like the core and everything. Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Correct. So when it's moving, as compared to yoga, I think because mainly you're on the mat.
Yeah.
You're on the ground.
Mm.
Right? Like you can't really fall any harder when you're already on the ground.
Yeah.
For us, we have clients who actually fall from a certain height, like they slipped, and it can happen.
Okay.
Yeah, it can happen. So that part can be dangerous. That's why actually the most authentic and truest form of Pilates is not taught in the mass class. It's always like 1-to-1 or 1-to-2.
Oh, because you got to sort of spot.
We need to spot the client.
It's like gymnastics, you know, when you're jumping, like those kind of really high.
Right. Except we don't fly. We don't fly. We throw a bit to catch people. But because when things are moving, sometimes we're just not mindful. You know, people actually do fall from a reformer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not the nicest thing to see. It's quite scary.
Is it? Okay.
I myself almost fell once. And that was when I was just, you know, in the morning I was going to a studio and I was just kind of like in a half asleep state. And there are no springs attached on the reformer bed and it's just a sliding platform. Yeah, I was telling myself don't stand on it and I stood on it.
Oh,
and I fell.
Without the springs.
Yeah, and I fell. I kind of like fell backwards, but it wasn't such a bad fall. I landed on the floor and I was like, okay, I told myself not to do it.
Yeah, but it's generally a very safe spot.
It's safe in the sense that it's just a practice.
Okay.
You have to do it correctly. Otherwise, you know, when you're moving your spine at a certain angle, sometimes people can injure them.
Yeah, you're right. That's why I think you said that you must make sure that they're doing correctly before you come.
This is very technique based. The method must be observed.
Is it? Okay.
Very serious.
Got it. Okay,
you should try, all right? You should try Pilates.
Have you tried Pilates before? I've only tried yoga. I mean, I've done yoga.
Have you?
Yeah. I can do the sun salutation.
Okay. And now I believe you.
So I went with my mom because the whole family went together and just tried together. So
that sounds lovely.
It's like a while back. So.
It is tiring, just the sun salutation, right? Non-stop.
Yeah. It's quite tiring actually. It's not. It looks easy. It looks like just stretching, but it's actually very tiring.
Everything is an art.
Yeah, so you teach as well, and how often do you teach?
Like twice a week.
Twice a week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thereabouts. I just see it as a way for me to de-stress. And yeah, like the neck aches, back aches. Just move your body in a different way after a whole day of doing the same thing.
Yeah. Dentist is, you know, being a dentist, sometimes you just stay in a position for like 4 hours, right? I was in that position for 4 hours.
Yeah, with me.
Yeah, I was like just in the position for 4 hours.
Yeah.
I can feel you were quite stressed.
Yeah, I mean like...
like because it was such an intense session, you know, it's so long.
Yeah, and it's like not even like... You're not chilling for like 4 hours. We're like everything is like every minute
you
is doing something.
You have so many things to do and I was like, okay, you know, I was telling myself to chill.
Do you prefer to know what's going on or you rather not know what's going on?
That's a very good question. That got me thinking.
So some people actually ask us to have mirrors. They carry the whole mirrors and they actually see what's being done.
Yeah.
But I'm like, do you really want to see that?
Yeah, some people want me to like narrate what I'm doing, you know, like they want to know because you can't feel anything actually when numb. So,
that's true.
But I can't tell. I feel like I would rather just not know and close my eyes.
I think if it's like... I mean, for us, it was pretty straightforward because it was like, you know, just attaching the fingers, I think. But I can imagine, you know, like root canal and stuff like that. I don't think I want to know what's going on in there. I've done it once.
Would you feel like you trust the dentist more if you know what they're doing?
I really need to trust
on
him.
The way. So you need to trust him first anyway.
Okay. I really need to trust him. Like, yeah. That's why, you know, I took a long time, you know. Yeah, to thank you. You guys.
You know, how do you people usually get trust? Like, a lot of patients do that. They'll send the kids first.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
As test subjects.
Yeah, don't you feel some of the patients will send the kids in first and see how the dentist is working with the kid.
I thought they would try themselves first.
Yeah, I thought they would try them. I thought they would put themselves first before.
Maybe that's the trend I see, but like that's how they. It's either that. If they are already fearful of the dentist. Because they are already fearful of the dentist, and then obviously the kid has maybe no fear yet.
I mean, I would say it's like it works both ways. Like if the child has a good experience and a parent accompanying will be like, oh, actually, I think I want to make an appointment with the clinic as well, or vice versa, if the parent has good experience. Mm. They ask, oh, do you guys
But usually kids? For fearful patients, it's mostly a word of mouth thing. Right?
I'm not sure.
I actually had no one recommending you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Because I didn't know your patients. But it was really by feel, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I was thinking whether I should go for, you know, look for a female dentist before coming to
you. Yeah, so that's a perception. Like, people like say, oh, you see a female dentist is gentler.
I think it's a bit different.
No
comments. Okay, I read he was very gentle and very quick, so
I think gender doesn't matter so much. This,
but some things you want, you know, like to be done fast enough. Like it depends. I think it depends.
But it comes down to the
patient. Yeah, I think it really depends on the patient. Because like some patients like me, some patients like me, it's just like I don't know what happened, things like that. So it's also like a chemistry. Like, you have to, like, it's like a bond that...
It's just a fit. It's just a fit.
I think the photo helps. You know, like, maybe some dentists don't have a profile with their photos. Okay. I think you need to feel like, you know, you're comfortable with this person. I think that is important.
I feel like that's a more recent development. Because I think, like, just maybe 10 years ago...
I think dentistry has evolved a lot. Yeah,
people don't expect to put a face to their dentist. They just know that they go to...
And then the worst is like you go to a dentist and then they just wear a mask and they never see you. You never see them.
Yeah,
it's just a mask. You're like,
so, you don't know their name at all.
Like, you don't know their name at all. Yeah. Then you just tell you you need to brush better, things like that.
I think back in those days, it's like you walk to a clinic, that's the first time you see the dentist and that's like, oh, so this is how you look like. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's it, right?
So I think dentistry has evolved a lot since like 10 years before, it was like, now we take photos for all our patients, we do scans, don't take anymore. You know, all these things have, you know, made it a bit more modern.
Yeah, it's a much more personal experience now, which I think that's really, really good. Yeah.
From consumer's point of view, I think that's
consumer, very good.
I feel like sometimes I do see people who still see going to the dentist as going to a shop, like just buying and getting a product done, like, oh, I'm just here to do this thing, like do cleaning on that. But I think it's part of like the journey to kind of get people to understand it's part of a holistic experience, and that actually ends up making a better experience for them.
I think it's just a feeling, like not just a tea, but like everyone, like as a holistic approach, I guess.
Yeah.
I think even for our industry, you know, like teaching, it's the same thing, right? So my clients will tell me that this term shopping for instructors, shopping for dentists, you know.
You
select, you know, you have to feel comfortable with the person, and that's very important.
Have you had situations where it's like not a good match and say, sorry, it's not a good match?
Okay, so I have clients who come to me and they have very specific wants. And if I think that that's not something I can achieve for them, I will tell them straight. I will say,
it's just like me. Just like me. I just think that I cannot promise you something that I can't deliver.
Precisely. Correct.
And it's not genuine on me or you, right, to do that as well. So,
the way I train is different from how she wants to be trained. Then I'll tell the person, you know, I don't think this is going to work out.
Okay. So you just say it.
Correct. Because when it comes to instructors, I think it's very much on your methodology, right? Mm. How you teach. So like some clients think that, oh, you know, they want to do something more fitness based and it's not my style.
Is there like a Pilates like association in Singapore?
Or? Not really.
Not really, okay.
There are different academies and everyone, instructors, you know, like whether you're trained by a certain academy, I think the approach can differ a little.
Oh, okay.
But wouldn't be too different.
Mm. Ah, okay, got it. Okay, so coming on, I noticed that you also are too a cat lover. Am I right?
It's just I am a cat lover.
I'm just looking. Yeah, you're a cat lover. Yeah, you have two cats now.
I have two cats. Yes.
And how do you manage them? Do you know?
They're a handful. Seriously, my cats are pretty much like kids. Actually, like my elder cat, he will follow me all around the house, like everywhere. Okay. I go. Even when I'm showering, he's sitting outside. He wouldn't let me close the door.
Have you guys heard of? Sorry, it's very random, but I just thought of it. Have you guys heard of sheep yoga?
Sheep yoga?
Sheep.
I've heard of it's cat like, man. Yoga.
And cat, is it cat yoga?
Dog cat yoga,
yoga,
dog yoga.
Sheep yoga. I've seen sheep yoga.
Is this in Taiwan?
No, it's in America. You do yoga with sheep.
Really?
That sounds kind of
I'm just saying it's something that, you know, since I was thinking that maybe it's a cat Pilates sounds like a good idea.
The cats will fiddle with the like things on
it. Oh, yeah.
The cat goes and adding something that you fly.
I brought my cat to the studio before when I was teaching, and he was just looking at the bit moving left and right.
Or at least he didn't try to like crawl underneath.
Yeah,
there's
they
were so
trying
many things
explore,
to see.
You know, like scratch the bit or something like that. Yeah, that happens. Yeah, because cats like to explore, right?
Like I actually had a very good idea. Me and Tiffany, we had a good idea of actually having like, I don't know what you call it, like dogs or cats to be in the clinic.
Oh.
To like soothe patients.
In Singapore?
In Singapore. I don't know, because I studied in Australia. In Australia, it's a thing.
Yeah.
In America, you can actually bring, like, you can have a house
like
dog.
A therapy
in the
house.
A therapy dog. Then you just, like, you're scared, you hug the dog, and like, the dog will be lying on you, things like that.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, I thought it was not bad,
but
I think
in
terms of cleanliness, it might not be a good idea.
You have to go through ABS, right?
I'm really not sure, but
I think not as easy, because to have an animal in the business, I read before, it's not easy to get a license.
Oh, so so I guess they don't want to abuse it and things like that, I guess.
Yeah. I think Singapore is always quite strict on these things.
Yeah, but I know, I thought it was a good idea.
I've seen the.
Yeah, because it's a very natural, therapeutic way of like, you know. Yeah.
I will come every day.
You come every day, just hug the dog.
Every 6 months I'll be here. I'll make sure I'm on time. But I think they're more worried about, you know, like when it comes to the customers, you know, like your patients, whether they can be allergic to fur or, you know.
Yeah,
like,
so I think the allergy is the issue. Yeah.
Or, you know, any problems that comes out from there.
And who's going to be responsible?
Yeah, I know, you're right. Yeah. So that's the thing. But, you know, I had
a
thought
about
it.
That's a good idea. If you can do it. I will support.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Maybe we can even bring our pets here, you know, as like a play group thing, and then
just. It's a good pet friendly dental clinic. Yeah.
If someone brings their cat to the clinic, what happens to the cat?
I think someone has brought a cat before, or a dog, but it's in a cage.
Mm.
Or the dog is very well behaved and he's like on a leash, and he just, yeah. So.
Is it because the patient is like, kind of like. Have anxiety like me? Just
no.
I think it helps.
Anything.
You.
I think it was because she needed the dog as like a guide dog kind of thing.
Oh, that's very very valid.
But that's a valid thing. Yeah.
But I would be quite happy if I can come to a dentist and cuddle my cat.
Yeah,
only,
it'd be quite
I'd
nice, right?
On the TV.
Yeah. No, right? I think it's a good idea, man. Like.
You just do an event once
a month. The clinic.
Or maybe just pet friendly, you know, if the patients need it, they can bring their pets.
Because I to be honest, I think that's because now the way we sort of treat anxiety, it's very much like, you know, patients making sure that it's very calming, blah blah blah. You should take a lot of time, things like that. Then there's the other spectrum is like you take medications, really. You take medication, sedation, IV sedation, all this very quite intense things. So like in the interim, maybe like, you know, we offer pillows, but maybe like
I have a soft toy.
Yeah.
It's usually for kids.
Or squish balls.
Sometimes I just end up giving it to the adults as well. And then they're like, oh, it's so soft. Like, yeah, okay, you're a bit more distracted now. That's good.
That's a great idea, I think.
Yeah, I think exploring. So, right?
Yeah, I think you should.
Okay, maybe I should really. Yeah, okay, yeah, you can be the test subject.
Sure,
bring your cat along. Okay, yeah.
I hope my cats doesn't scratch.
Are they very aggressive?
They'll be so curious. Not aggressive, but I have two cats and both of them differ in personality. Like the elder one, he's kind of like okay with strangers. And in fact, you know, sometimes people coming into the house, he wants to see what's going on. The younger one will hide for hours. You wouldn't even find her. She's like, when people are gone, she's still hiding. She's dead afraid of people.
Okay. Yeah.
But when she's, when, you know, it's just me, she's like meowing nonstop. You know, like nonstop.
Really. That's pretty interesting. Oh. Okay. Okay. Yeah, so I guess we can really cool. do. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's think about it.
If you have an in-house therapy dog, then you have to book, you have to request for the dog. And you have to be not allergic, you know. It's quite cool. And then
no, that's also hypoallergenic dogs, right?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You can have like those, like, doesn't shed hair and like that.
Actually, in-house would be so good because the dog will be used to the environment already.
You take care of the dog, who take care of it?
You need to hire someone to take care of the dog.
Best employee.
Defense roster.
No salary, just food. Just food.
Just having a dog walking around, right? Room to room. So cute.
Yeah. Okay. Quite nice. Okay. Maybe it could be an option one day.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. If, you know, if the ministry is hearing this, you know, we have a fan already.
One fan.
Yeah. One fan.
One signature.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So like, now you're also a big Instagrammer as well.
I'm not big.
You have like 20,000 followers. Like, how do you manage to get 20,000 followers? That's like...
Actually, I started my account maybe close to 10 years ago.
Okay.
10 years. Yeah, around
10
years.
Okay, yeah.
When I started, like I said, it was just a picture of my breakfast or something. I can't remember. It wasn't even me. It wasn't even my photo. Mm. And I think I just... at that period of time, I was running a lot. And I started running. And actually, that was my story, as in like I started picking up running again after like being sedentary for like 14 years and, you know, kind of like not doing anything. So I started running and I was in a lot of run events. Yeah, so you know, when you have races and stuff, there are photographers who take photos.
Yeah.
And they will post it online and, you know, where everyone just pick their photos and download their own photos. And that was how I think some runners got to know me. And just the Instagram account grew. Yeah. So everyone started taking photos and posting everywhere.
Okay.
At least look glamorous. At least look glamorous while you're running.
That's what I had to say. There was one, I think there was this post on Hardware Zone. And it was like, they were like, oh, you know, how can she look like, it doesn't look like she just ran like a half marathon.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
That's such a good compliment.
That's a good compliment.
They were like, oh, maybe she just went there to like, you know, like pose with the medal and whatever. I was like, no, I ran 2 hours. Like,
yeah, it's a lot of noise, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So you get a lot of all this like trashy stuff as well. But the account just grew from there.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I think my followers, most of them are runners.
Oh, are runners. Okay. Mm. Okay.
Mainly runners and maybe like fitness.
You still run a lot?
I don't run as much, but I still try to run.
Okay, okay, okay.
I try my best to run like twice a week.
Twice a week, okay. Do you still go for marathons as well?
I don't, but I do like 10K races, 10 kilometers.
Okay, okay.
But not like half or... I haven't done a full marathon before, actually. Like 42 kilometers sounds like too painful.
I heard, yeah. You know, I've done half only, I haven't done full yet.
Well, unless I lose a bet or something, no, I'm not going to run 42 kilometers. Yeah, but that was how the account grew, actually.
Okay, okay, okay.
So kind of like by chance. Yeah.
Okay. So like it just grew like overnight, or is it like a steady growth kind of thing?
I think over a few years.
Over a few years, okay.
And after that, I think that was where I get a lot more brand sponsorships and stuff like that, you know, like trying to get me into events and stuff. That's how it all came about.
Like, but I guess it's quite fun as well, right? You get to try different things out, was it?
Yeah, it's not too bad. I mean, it's fun. Like, yeah. I have a lot of free shoes and stuff like that.
Is it?
Yeah, so I don't really have to pay for my
start an Instagram account.
But that was then when I was a lot younger. So when I was a lot younger, that was I get more sponsorships and stuff. But now, kind of like on my own, but it's okay.
Okay, so what's next? Like, you know, on this.
What's next?
What are you planning since you already,
I stepped out from my
your business, right?
Business. Yep. actually with the intention that I wanted to go into the pet industry.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't want anything inhumane, like, okay, not inhumane, sorry, that's a wrong term to use. But I kind of like wanted to be the voice for animals. Like, I want to see how I can help the animals. But I haven't quite figured it out yet. It's kind of like a new concept, but I'm trying to put things together. For example, let me put it into terms easier to understand. Like, you know, an artist, maybe they'll like draw illustrations of cats and dogs, or maybe like, you know, people start a business and, you know, the profit goes to like cats or dog organization and things like that. Directly helping animals. I think that's something that
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I always wanted to make meaning for my cats coming to my life. So I always thought of starting a business for them. It's not for me.
Oh, wow. Okay. And like, it's any animals in particular or just...
Maybe cats.
Okay.
Because I have two cats. I mean, although I love... all animals, except some insects. I recently just adopted a snail, and it was like the coolest thing ever, like a little small snail. And now everyone's asking.
Well, I think my son will love you, man. He loves snails. Really? He'll pick up snails everywhere. I don't know whether it's good to pick up snails.
What does he do with them after he picks them up?
He'll pick up and then like, hey, that snail, and he'll put it down.
Oh, he'll put it in a safe space?
I think so. I mean, I don't really know whether it's a safe. Yeah.
Put it in the grass.
Yeah, no, he whispered where he used to be. But he loves snails. Cute. But garden snails, like, yeah.
Okay. I mean, my snail is really small. The very, very tiny ones.
So the little are like fish tank snails or like?
No, I found it in my flower pot.
Oh, okay.
So actually my flower pot, I took it back from my friend's nursery, and It was in there, and I just couldn't bear to throw it out.
It came to me.
That's cool. Wow.
It's pretty. It's like, it has a glass shell, and it's really, really cute.
Glass shell?
Yeah. It's transparent.
Transparent?
No, it's translucent.
Okay, I really want to try to find...
a transparent. So
maybe we can flash a picture of my snail.
Yeah. I want to see. Honestly, I think my kids will love it.
Imagine if you give it to Thomas.
Yeah.
Come on, give it to him as a birthday
He'll
present.
Crush it.
No,
the youngest one will crush it. No.
They cut the glass nail.
Oh, they cut the glass nail. Okay, cool. By the way, my good friend's wife is actually doing something very similar to what your business like, plan is actually.
Oh, really?
I might want to link up with you.
Sure.
So she's an artist, and she draws. She's get paid to draw dogs.
Dogs.
And cats. So they actually commission her to paint, and it's quite nice, I think. Yeah.
I mean, in small little ways, you know, we are just giving the voice back to the animals, and I think that's important, right? Like, you know, like sometimes when you watch movies and, you know, those animal theme movies, you know, you cry a lot because, you know, we don't really hear their voices, but when you actually hear, you know, like their story.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you just.
Yes. You know what bugs me? The cleaning of, like, the dental cleaning, scaling and polishing of animals.
Oh, animals?
Well, they are more expensive than humans.
Yeah, but they're just under GA, right?
GA, though.
Oh, yes, I can remember. Yeah, I remember that. They're more GA. Yeah, I was like, whoa, so expensive.
Everything for pets
is a few hundred dollars.
It's a few hundred dollars. Yeah.
I think it's because of the GA.
It is mostly the GA. And because I used to have a dog. I used to have a Samoyed. And now one of our, because we had the dog, at a time, and do you hear about this? Yeah. So we had a dog, very, very early on in our lives where we had two very, very young kids. Okay. And then it was like, you know, we didn't, cause it was our first dog, so we didn't expect the dog to be so much of a handful, like a third kid. So we couldn't deal with that. So we gave the dog to our colleague, Dr. Joanne. So Dr. Joanne she's on maternity leave now, but she loves the dogs a lot.
Did she tell you about the emergency visit she had to make?
Oh yeah, that she had to. She the dog had to go to.
Yeah, because I think they were worried the dog was swallowed something, was choking and something.
Yeah.
But they called two different dentists. I think it was a Saturday.
No, not dentists. Vets.
Oh, sorry. They call two separate vets in the morning, and then there's like the off peak
family. Yeah.
And I think they did all of that just for the vet to say that there was nothing, but the dog was happy after it woke up from the anesthesia.
Yeah. So I mean, it's quite expensive to keep pets, I guess.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Maybe, yeah, but I think it's a good idea. We can actually try to put it in our practice one day. Our clinic one day.
To figure out the licensing.
I think so.
For animals, is it?
Yeah, I thought it was like a very nice thing when I was in, like, in Australia. Because then, like, in Australia, the Australians are very proud of their pets. You know, they will bring their pets. Because most of them stay in landed property, right? So they will have dogs, cats and everything. So they'll bring it over and then, like, it's quite a nice thing. And they get very nervous and they just hold the pets and that. So that's, I mean, if you help your pet when you saw first saw me, I don't think you need medication. Like, yeah, you'd be like, yeah.
You can help my cat first. I think my cat has a jaw alignment issue.
Oh, really?
No, she's kind of like flat face. So like she cannot pick up food when, you know, like if I give her her food, her kibbles in a bowl, she cannot finish the rest because it's like she cannot pick it up.
Oh.
Yeah. So like if it's on the floor, she will have trouble picking up. I have to feed her like kibble by kibble, one at a time, and she will eat it. So maybe that can be your first. check the jaw, check alignment.
I've seen like images of pit bulls getting braces because they tend to have a underbite. No, I'm serious. Like the wire, no matter why. I don't know how they adjust, how often they adjust their braces.
You must put energy again to adjust.
Like, it's quite difficult to adjust.
I'm not sure whether those animals like it actually, but.
But I guess, yeah.
It's worth a try, I think.
Okay.
So it's like,
I'll try.
New ideas.
Nah. Yeah, I think apart from that, do you have any dying questions for us? As a patient to the dentist, like, you know, anything that you think that, hey, just so that, like, any questions. So I've been asking you a lot of questions. And, like, you've not been asking us a lot of questions.
How can you help me eradicate my last 10% of my fear? No, like, actually,
I think, to be honest, it's really hard. Like, it's always going to be like, I just think that, okay, to be honest, I would be very fearful as well because, like,
really?
Yeah, because, like, I mean, my dentist is my wife, right? Yeah. So I have 100% trust.
Sorry, honey,
if you know, you're hearing this, you know, you have my trust. But like, you never know what the dentist is doing, and so
yes,
right? You like, no matter what, you never know what the dentist is looking at, what the dentist is poking, things like that. So that's why you take a lot of photos. Yeah, take a lot of photos, right? I understand.
I have this irrational fear of like things flying out from whatever you're attached on.
That's not irrational. It has happened. It shouldn't happen. It should really not happen.
But
if
it happens,
I'm brushing my teeth in the morning, I'm like, oh, what if I didn't attach my brush head properly and it flies out and then it goes. You know, I always think of the worst. So like,
but you're using an electric toothbrush now?
I am.
Oh, okay. That's
very nice.
Yeah, I watched that episode on electric toothbrush.
Did you? Yeah.
That is just that. But I think otherwise, you know, like I always say, choose a reputable and good dentist.
Oh, thank you. So, yeah, I know. Thank you so much.
Don't just randomly walk into a clinic because unless it's an
emergency. Was price an issue? Like, I mean, price is always an issue, but like if you were still scared of the dentist and you pay a cheaper price for it, will you push yourself to go and see a dentist? You know, no. Does it make sense? No, no, right?
So maybe to me, price is not an important factor to consider.
Okay, it was more like
I would feel that the reputation of the clinic and, you know, like the services that you provide, the machinery that you have.
Yeah.
You know, all these things are important. The equipment that you guys use.
Yeah.
Those are the things that I would be willing as a consumer to pay for.
Yeah.
Because when I first came to Dental Designs, I was so impressed by everything, you know, like the photo room and then, you know, how you're scanned.
You should see the new
new branch. Just open another branch in Orchard.
I was so mind blown. I was like, wow, this is so cool.
Maybe because you never seen a dentist clinic for a very long time.
Maybe prior to that.
That's also a very nice so office.
Yeah, but then everything looked so cool. You know, like when I took my dad, he was like, wow, you know, everything looks so different.
Yeah, I'm hoping I can see your dad again. I really want to.
The new branch has a water feature in the
Water fountain. We have a water fountain.
It doesn't feel like you're going to a dentist.
I think it's a cat watering hole. And you can see, it's like a little fountain they can...
Oh, in the Orchard, is it?
Yeah, it's beautiful, yeah. I should, it feels like you're stepping into a spa mixed with a resort at the same time.
Wow. No, the water fountain was because of my kid. They like water fountains a lot.
Okay, I'll make sure my next appointment is...
I'm there. I'm there Orchard. On Thursday and Fridays.
Okay, okay. Sounds good.
But Kelly's not there. Okay, I think with that, we're going to end our talk already. All right, thank you so much for having us. Thank you, Betsy, for having us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was super enjoyable.
It was fun. Like, it was just a chit chat.
I learned a lot about Pilates and cats.
Yes, I learned a lot about Pilates and yoga, and that Pilates essentially needs a good instructor. Right.
Actually, I think now we are still in a stage where Pilates, if you go for private classes, you know, you really can see the benefit because we really try to correct imbalances. Yoga, I was telling Dr. Erin, you know, like hardly anyone goes for private yoga anymore, but private yoga is really good. Like instructors really pay attention to your form and alignment. But because that's not like something that people market anymore, it's always like a group class, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And to be honest, that's actually what I think as well. Because sometimes when I'm in the yoga class, I'm like, my posture's not right, but he doesn't care, or like he does, there's too many people to care about, things like that.
Yeah.
And people, you know, I have a lot of male clients asking me, you know, like, do guys do Pilates? I'm like, but Pilates, the founder, he's a guy.
He's a French guy, right?
Yeah. Joseph Pilates.
Oh, that's why his name's Pilates.
That's his last name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's founded by a man and then taught, you know, to many female disciples.
No, but I think that it's, you know, what you say is true. Like, if you have a good instructor and it's like a private class, because actually the form is more important than just doing it.
Yes.
Because if you do it wrongly 100 times, you might not get the benefit. It's same as yoga, right?
Yeah.
If you don't get a stretch in things like that, it doesn't matter.
So I always ask my clients, do you feel it? Can you feel it?
Yeah. Actually, you're right. I think so. Maybe
you should do class. I can give you a free class.
Actually, you should ask my wife.
Both.
She's always like backache, tired, you know, because she's always carrying the baby. She's like, we have a Julian and Thomas, and they're like 3 and 5 years old.
Okay.
And they always hug her, and she's like,
carrying
in a very weird position.
Oh, it's super tiring.
Okay.
You can go for a
support class. All right. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you guys.
All right. I'll see you guys soon. Bye-bye.